From WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
What is up, beautiful people? You are now locked into WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, on this Friday, September 30th, 2016. Yes, you have made it. You've done it. The weekend is upon you. And we plan on easing you into the weekend that is with a bang, all right? As we have a fun-filled hour of Current Sports in store for all of our listeners out there. On today's show, you will get to hear from the man, the myth, the legend, and now Hall of Famer, Mr. Tom Izzo, the head coach of the Michigan State men's basketball team, as today marks the unofficial start to the college basketball season throughout our great nation. All right, yes, the Michigan State basketball team officially can practice as they now prep for another great year. Hear what Tom had to say in just a second. We will also prep you for the college football action that will get underway tomorrow afternoon, including the Michigan State and Indiana night game at 8 p.m., also U of M and Wisconsin. That's going to be a fun one, folks. And on the back end of the show, the Detroit Lions are also in action this Sunday as they look to take on and get back on the winning track against the Chicago Bears. All of that and more, if you want to be a part of our airwaves, you know how to do it. Pick up that phone and dial 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. You can also go to our Facebook pages at facebook.com/currentsports, where you can actually catch the live stream, the video live stream of what's taking place in our studios right now. And hey, even tweet us at AlMartinWKAR or at WKAR_sports. So much to get to, so little time. Here are your Current Sports quick hit headliners. All right, we first want to start by giving you guys an update on what is going to take place in the world of Mid-Michigan high school football tonight. Can you believe that it is already week six? Every single year, it seems like the high school football year just flies by. Here are the week's top matchups. Hazlitt takes on DeWitt on the road, who is looking to capture its 11th straight conference title in this CAAC Red contest. So we'll see if the Vikings can do that. Guam of Westphalia, number two in Division 7, is at Lanesburg, number five in Division 6. P-Dub features running back Jared Smith, who has 975 yards and 17 touchdowns on 73 carries this year. This is a big matchup in the C-MAC under the Friday night lights. Williamston at Fowlerville, Holt at Sexton will be a game in the CAAC Blue. Our very own Isaac Constance will be at that one tonight. East Lansing at Everett will also have an impact on the CAAC Blue standings. Dansville at Bath, Mason at Waverly, Maple Valley at Leslie, and last but surely not least, Perry at Stockbridge, featuring Mason G. Montgomery, who has 1,246 yards and 24 TDs on 94 pass completions. Moving along now, football and basketball get a lot of the attention here at Michigan State, but step over to DeMartin Stadium and you'll catch some great Spartan soccer, I should say. Now, the Michigan State women's team is no exception, and they defeated actually Maryland in double overtime on Thursday, 3-2. Get your hats out, because Hannah Jones had all three goals to help the Spartans topple the Terrapins. Of course, she couldn't do this alone, and each of her goals were assisted by the likes of Morgan McCurchy, Jessica Yelstrom, and Lexi Warner. Michigan State will take on Rutgers on Sunday in East Lansing at 1 p.m. It's not just the Spartan football team headed to Bloomington this week. MSU baseball will play an exhibition against the Hoosier baseball team before the football game at 2:30 p.m. The Spartans lost a couple close ones to IU last year, one being an extra inning loss and the other a tight one-run ball game. Last year's team was very young, sprinkled with some major league talent, with their two best pitchers gone, Dakota Meeks and Cam View, and their best hitter gone in Jordan Zimmerman. MSU is taking this time now in the offseason to figure out who they will be as a team. Jake Boss said this, quote, "It's an exciting weekend because we will learn a great deal about our team," end quote. Panic in East Lansing. Spartan fans saw their team incur its first loss in the young season after getting blanked by Wisconsin 30-6 last weekend. The woes continue for the Michigan State football team as they learned they would be without both of their star linebackers, Riley Bulla and John Reschke. And now, with heavy hearts from the Mylon Hicks loss, the Spartans will look to redeem themselves as they travel to Indiana to take on the Hoosiers under the lights at 8 p.m. tomorrow. The season is not over for MSU, but as mentioned, there are a lot of work to be done on both sides of the football. Now, Indiana is not a team to sleep on. They are going to want a high-scoring shootout, so Tyler O'Connor and the Spartan offense is going to have to do everything they can to put up points against an improved Hoosier defense in order to match IU's scoring capability. We will preview that matchup in the blink of an eye. The 8th-ranked Badgers, that's right, Wisconsin, travel to Ann Arbor on Saturday to face the 4th-ranked Wolverines at 3:30 p.m. Michigan is favored by 10 points. Wisconsin is off a huge, of course, 30-6 dub against Michigan State. The Badgers allow 80.5 rush yards per game, while the Wolverines are averaging just under 230 rushing yards. Insane. Wisconsin's redshirt freshman quarterback, Alex Hornibrook, looks to build off an impressive first career start where he threw for 195 yards, a touchdown, and a pick against the Spartans. Hornibrook made some big throws on third down, where 136 of his yards came from. Michigan's defense ranks first in the nation on third down conversions with a rate of 12%. The Detroit Lions, a week after their loss at Lambeau Field out in Green Bay, travel to Soldier Field in the Shy for another NFC North clash to face the Chicago Bears. The 0-3 Jay Cutler and Jeremy Langford-less Bears are just 3-point underdogs to the 1-2 Lions. Through three games, Detroit's defense has allowed a 50% third down conversion rate, good enough for second worst in the NFL. The defense may miss the presence of DeAndre Levy and Ezekiel Ansah, as they have not practiced yet this week. The Lions' pass offense, one of the league's statistical best, will take on one of the league's statistically worst pass defenses. Something bound to give on Sunday, folks. The game is scheduled to start at 1 p.m. on Sunday on Fox. Cleveland Browns wide receiver Josh Gordon said he is going to enter rehab. Gordon has been suspended 3 different times for violating the league's substance abuse policy. He was suspended for the entire 2015 year, suspended for 10 games in 2014, and suspended for 2 games in 2013. Gordon was also suspended for the season finale in 2014 for missing a team walkthrough. Gordon has played in 35 games since he was drafted in 2012. In those games, he has 161 receptions, 2,754 receiving yards, and 14 touchdowns. Gordon said he hopes to gain full control of his life and reach his full potential as a person. Rooting for you, Josh. All right, the 2016 Ryder Cup is here, folks. Friday's foursomes teed off earlier today at Hazeltine National Golf Club, and the United States could not have asked for a better start. The U.S. pairings of Jordan Spieth and Patrick Reed and Dustin Johnson and Matt Kuchar won their matches to give the Stars and Stripes an early 2-0 lead. Phil Mickelson and Ricky Fowler and Jimmy Walker and Zach Johnson just finished their matches with 2 more American wins to give the U.S. its first 4-0 sweep since 1975. Now, the afternoon four ball teams will be teeing off as we are listening right now, as you are listening. Saturday's foursomes and four ball teams will follow the same timeline as today, and Sunday's singles matches are scheduled to start at 11:04 a.m. And we will give you a quick Detroit Tigers update later on in the hour. Of course, they were rained out yesterday against the Cleveland Indians, and they will start a 3-game series to close out the year against the Atlanta Braves starting tonight, 7:35 p.m. on Fox Sports Detroit. That wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners. Let's start the show.
first down. In the pocket, going to run with that speed. Hit that hole so fast, now he bounces it outside. Greg Ward Jr., touchdown! What a run! Ward with pressure coming, took a hit and delivered it perfectly. Touchdown! The tight end, Tyler McCloskey. Ward throws, end zone, caught! Touchdown! Stephen Dunbar.
What an accurate throw, leading Dunbar to the outside. That's good in the NFL.
Ward again, looking like he was intending to run the whole way with the speed to get to the corner. Touchdown!
And that is how we start this afternoon's Current Sports. Ladies and gents, boys and girls, we are so honored you've allowed Current Sports to be a part of your weekday afternoon yet again. How about that performance last night from Houston quarterback Greg Ward Jr.? Yeah, you better put his name right in the mix when it comes to this whole Heisman Trophy talk, right? It's so early. It amazes me how we want to know who the contenders are so early in the college football year. Of course, it's fun engaging in that debate. And right now, other than Greg Ward Jr., the big name that I think everybody's favorite right now. I'm actually sitting in front of the latest version of Sports Illustrated for the month. And a man by the name of Lamar Jackson, who is the quarterback out in Louisville. Yeah, he's leading the pack right now. I don't think that's even a debate. I mean, you could make a case for Greg Ward Jr. It's been, what, nearly three decades since a Houston player won the Heisman. And Ward showed you yet again why he's in the mix. I mean, this is a guy who can beat you with his feet. He's got a great arm. He's got great instincts in the pocket. And I want to give you all a date to circle on your calendars. November 17th, folks. That's the day we will get to see Houston and Louisville get it on right on the gridiron, folks. So you'll get to have a really nice comparison between Greg Ward Jr. and Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson is throwing up numbers that are just mind-boggling. It is so fun to watch this young man play. It really is. You know, if you look at the game against the Syracuse Orange, I mean, Jackson threw for 411 yards, ran for 199, scored five touchdowns, had a hurdle that looked like you were watching something from Madden 16, right? Crazy. Just ridiculous numbers. And when reading this article from Sports Illustrated, which was very well done. You know, what I love about this article is it profiles Jackson not just athletically, what he can do on the field, what we've seen on the field, but it profiles the type of player that Jackson always knew that he could be. And he didn't want to just be known as a guy who can just put the football on the ground and run it, okay? He didn't just want to be known for his feet. He wanted to be known primarily as a pocket-passing quarterback. And he actually turned down a lot of offers because there were other programs recruiting him out of high school that wanted to make him a running back, that wanted to make him a wide receiver or a punt returner. Quarterback, a lot of these schools didn't want him to be a quarterback because he's so athletic that they felt like that they would be just kind of, you know, not using him to the best of his abilities. But to be honest with you folks, I mean, Lamar Jackson can do it all. Got a great arm. If he needs to, he can pick up a first down with his feet, and he is lightning fast. His first step, when he decides to plant and go, I mean, it's amazing. I'm curious to know what the kid runs in a 40-yard dash. Other names you can throw in that mix in this whole Heisman Trophy conversation other than Ward Jr. and Jackson, I think you have to give a look at JT Barrett, quarterback for Ohio State, as well as Christian McCaffrey, running back for Stanford. McCaffrey, you know, this is a kid who hardly needs an introduction. He finished second in the Heisman voting last year after breaking Barry Sanders' 1988 record for the most all-purpose yards. JT Barrett, a vet. All right? Simple as that. Got great instincts. And you talk about a team in the Buckeyes that lost 12 players to the NFL draft last year. A lot of turnover. That also includes, you know, the backfield presence of Ezekiel Elliott, who is now playing for my Dallas Cowboys. If you look at JT Barrett, he's a fantastic player. You talk about instincts. He has great instincts as well, and he's a fantastic leader. So I want to know, it's early right now, but do you think, and I think that the general consensus here is that Lamar Jackson is leading the pack. Do you think that Lamar Jackson, do you believe the hype? Do you think that, you know, as the year moves on here, those numbers will start to slowly dwindle down a bit and the perception will change on whether or not Lamar Jackson is the guy to win the Heisman this year? And if so, who do you think is going to win the Heisman this year? It's so early. We're talking about September 30th here, folks. But, hey, it's a fun debate to have. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. I want to invite right now the first of our many voices here on this show throughout this hour today, our engineer of WKAR's Current Sports, Isaac Constance. I know, Isaac, you are a fan of Mr. Lamar Jackson. He's fantastic, isn't he?
And if you're not, you're an idiot at this point. The guy's done everything.
Oh, that was kind of harsh.
Hold on, Isaac. It's harsh.
That was kind of harsh.
But at the same time, you've got to be a fan of Lamar Jackson at the college level. I'm not saying you have to think that he's the next fantastic pro, the next Drew Brees or Brett Favre or anything. But
right.
You've got to give the guy his credit because he has done nothing but scorch and obliterate every single defense in front of him. If you're not a fan of him, you're an idiot. Now, there is a second tier to this conversation,
right,
though.
Okay.
And that's where it all comes up. Christian McCaffrey, I agree with you, is one of the names that should be thrown out there, as well as Greg Ward. And yesterday, I believe, you asked me this question at the end of the hour, and I hadn't done any preparation whatsoever. I was just looking. I had seen Greg Ward play when he played Oklahoma, and I was very impressed. I was really put on the back foot because I didn't know who this kid was. I hadn't heard of him before. Mm-hmm. I knew that Houston, of course, had a rich history of quarterbacks who could make plays, but Greg Ward is something else with his run game to complement his passing strength.
He reminds you a lot of Jackson.
Yes,
he does.
In
many ways. But Jackson, I think what separates Jackson and Ward right now is when you look at just the athletic ability of Lamar Jackson, I just think I would put it just a notch over Greg Ward's. I mean, watching Jackson run, I mean, he is so fast, Isaac. Did you see last week's game? I mean, it's unbelievable just how he goes from 0 to 100 in the blink of an eye. I mean, he looks like a running back out there when he decides to run the football. Arm strength, I think Jackson may have a bit of an edge in that as well, even though Greg Ward has a great arm on him. He's very accurate. He's very accurate. We saw that last night with Greg Ward Jr. But I just think I think Jackson may have the better combination of arm strength and accuracy. But, I mean, we're kind of grasping at straws here because when you compare them, you can see a lot of similarities between the two.
Yeah, they're very similar. You can almost interchange them, and I think if you did that, both these teams would still be undefeated. You're absolutely right. You've got to circle the game between the two to see who's the supreme talent in many ways. Mm. But this far, it's been Jackson. And I'm looking at his stats right now, and stats don't tell everything. But when you have 12 rushing touchdowns already at this point in the season, I was just looking at McCaffrey, and he's been fantastic. Mm-hmm. But 12 for Lamar Jackson, that is unprecedented, untouchable. And then to pair that with the throwing percentage that he's converting, the touchdown to interception ratio, you couldn't ask any more of this kid, and he has not let this team down once.
Lamar Jackson has more touchdowns than most teams in college football
today.
Okay, through the infancy of this college football year. He is an absolutely fantastic player. And just to read a quick excerpt here, I thought this was kind of funny. It just shows you the type of leader and how harsh Lamar Jackson is on his playing ability from week to week to week. He demands perfection, and that's something that really stood out in this article as well. He handed himself out a D when asked to grade how he played against Florida State. He gave himself a D against Florida State because he threw an interception and missed several reads. So, you know, that leads me to say, okay, if that's a D, you know, what in the world does an A look like for Jackson? And it's funny because they actually answered this question in the next graph. You know, Jackson, when asked what an A looks like, he points to the wall in Louisville's team meeting room, where 12 offensive goals are charted for each game. The Cardinals met 11 of those against Florida State. Jackson goes on to say this, quote, "See the board right over there? See there's an empty slot? When all that's filled, I'll be like, all right, we did what we're supposed to do, but it's not filled," end quote. I love that. The dude is striving for perfection every single time he's out there. So who do you think is going to win the Heisman Trophy this year? Well, I should say that's looking too far down the pipe here. Who do you think is leading that convo right now? 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. 9527. You can also comment via our social media pages at facebook.com/currentsports or even tweet us at Al Martin, WKAR, or at WKAR_sports. All right, let's shift gears now. Let's talk about the Michigan State football team that will be looking to get on the winning track, get back on the winning track, I should say, after a 30-6 loss at home at Spartan Stadium last weekend at the hands of Wisconsin. Michigan State will play under the lights at 8 p.m. against the Indiana Hoosiers. Indiana, a team that is coming off a loss to Wake Forest last week. So before we invite a few of our current sports production assistants to the show, I want to play two bites from the Mark D'Antonio press conference earlier this week, which was held on Tuesday morning. Here is Coach Mark D'Antonio on challenges moving forward now after the loss to the Badgers.
Well, everybody's challenged. I think we're all challenged. When things don't go well for you, you're challenged. And there's one of two ways to go. You can take the high road and try and get better, persevere through it, or you can go the other direction and say, hey, we can't do this, or get desperate and things of that nature. And we've always taken the road that, hey, we're going to get better, learn from our mistakes, and carry on. And as long as our players play, there was no lack of effort in that football game. None. From the first play to the last play, there was no lack of effort. There was no lack of toughness. And when you have those two aspects going for your team, usually people can rise up and they can bounce back. If there was a lack of toughness, lack of effort, lack of leadership, then I'd be very concerned. But that didn't take place. So, hey, you're playing a good football team. I tried to say that all week long, and sometimes you start reading things and you just expect things to happen. But that game was a different type of game, and the dynamics of the game changed in the third quarter because of a fumble. Had opportunities in the first half. Didn't happen. Got the ball to 50 twice. One time we kicked a field goal. The other time that we ended up fumbling it. You know, so you got to cash in on your opportunities. But there were enough good things that did happen that you saw enough players playing well and playing hard that I think our future is still very bright. We can control our own destiny, as I said. That happened last year as well. And we just need to learn from these things. The same thing happened in 2014. We had an early game. We needed to deal with that early loss throughout. We needed to fight back from it, and we were able to do that. So we've had a history of doing those things. We need to rely on that history and keep pushing.
So, again, that was head coach Mark D'Antonio of the Michigan State football team as he addressed the media earlier this week as we preview this Michigan State and Indiana night game that would take place on the road out in Bloomington on Saturday night. And as Coach D stated, the goals for this team are still right in front of them, okay? And there's a comparison that you can make from last year when Michigan State lost to Nebraska on the road. Certainly, the week right after that, a lot of talk centered around, okay, what's the end goal now for the Michigan State football year? But, hey, what happens? They go on to get wins in the next 4 weeks, and next thing you know, they're headed to Dallas to play in the college football playoff. But there's a bit of a difference in comparison to that loss to this year's loss. This year's loss to Wisconsin comes so early in the Big Ten season, the very first game of the Big Ten year, they lose at home 30-6. And you had to deal with that L throughout the majority of the rest of the year. I mean, that's a tough thing mentally to try and overcome. And then you evaluate the intangibles of what took place that led to the Michigan State loss on Saturday. Again, everybody's starting by addressing the elephant in the room. Tyler O'Connor did not play well in that game. In his very first loss, actually, as the starting quarterback of the Michigan State football team, didn't play well. Look at injuries entering this game. Michigan State will be without linebacker John Reschke. And Riley Bulla is listed as questionable. I'm pretty sure that Riley is not suiting up on Saturday night either, okay? So you look at a guy in Andrew Dow at the star linebacker position who will be replacing John Reschke, Shane Jones at middle linebacker, Chris Fry at Sam. That's what you got to deal with. And then you see guys like Ed Davis, Byron Bulla. I also think you'll see those guys get a few minutes as well on Saturday. But the losses of Reschke and Bulla are big ones because now in the smack dab middle of that Michigan State defense, you're going to have a void that Dow, Jones, and Fry are going to have to fill. Indiana runs that quick, hurry-up offense, no huddle, and you look at what they did last week. I mean, don't sleep on Indiana, folks. Even though they lost to Wake Forest, that offense was able to put up a lot of points. Very efficient. Richard Lego, love that name, by the way, 6'6", 237, leads the Big Ten at 334 passing yards per game, completes 62.4% of his throws for 1,002 yards, 7 touchdowns, ranks second to just JT Barrett in passing efficiency, threw for a single-game school record, 496 yards last week in that loss to Wake Forest. And Ricky Jones and Nick Westbrook are his favorite targets. They can certainly light up a secondary. Here is Coach Mark D'Antonio on preparing for Indiana and what to expect in this matchup tomorrow.
IU comes in here 2-1. We play for the Brass Platoon, which has been something that we've been able to hold on to for a little bit here. Kevin Wilson's in his sixth year, so we've got a history with those guys. Always games have been extremely competitive. Hurry-up offense, their wide receivers, all pretty much caught the same number of passes, their three wideouts. You know, so Paige and Ricky Jones and Westbrook are the three guys that are featured sort of guys. Laglow, their quarterback's a junior college transfer guy. He's sort of come on the scene, has done a nice job, threw for a lot of yards this last game. Redding's their running back. Feeney probably anchors their offensive line. Defensively, their three linebackers probably are their three guys that lead the team in tackles with 44 each. And then in the back end, they have one safety that sort of anchors their group there. So football team that's got to respond as well after losing this past week. So it'll be a great matchup at 8 o'clock Saturday night. As far as injuries, I think it's, you know, I've always tried to just sort of be on the up and up with things. John Reschke's out right now, and he's probably out for a significant time period here as he works through a severe ankle sprain. Riley probably is a little bit more day-to-day, and we'll see how that goes as we move through the week. We'll make an announcement prior to the game as whether he can or cannot go. We'll see how it shakes out.
So, again, right now, Reschke out. Bulla, questionable. Doubt we'll see him tomorrow. So right now, to further preview this game, I not only want to invite our engineer of WKAR's Current Sports, Isaac Constance, but I also want to invite our Current Sports production assistants. We have Zach Barnes, Zach Swiezicki, as well as Griffin Wasik to preview this Michigan State and Indiana matchup again that will take place under the lights tomorrow night. Fellas, happy, happy Friday. How you guys doing? Everybody good?
Just good. Swell, Al.
Doing well.
Not all at once. All
right? I know.
I want to start first. Let's start with you, Zach. Zach Swiezicki, of course. We got two Zachs in the house like we do each and every Friday. Zach, what are your question marks coming into this game? And what do you think that loss against Wisconsin, what does that do for this Michigan State year moving forward?
Well, the loss can do one of two things. It can really motivate the team to, like you said, they could make a run to the college football playoff. Or it could really demoralize the team. You know, with Mylon Hicks, they're going to be doing the Black Sox, Black Shoes tribute. Mm-hmm. I'm sure that'll be on the mind of the – I think D'Antonio said a couple dozen players were on the team while mm-hmm. he was playing. So that'll be on the mind. But question marks, obviously, Tyler O'Connor. He couldn't have played much worse against Wisconsin. Quarterback rating of 25, 224 yards, 3 picks. And every one of those picks was just another really gut punch, really. Mm-hmm. It was when they were trying to drive, and then especially the pick six. The defense played, you know, okay. Really, they give up 17 points. The fumble on the punt, really, you can't do much with that short field position. The pick six, 17 points to Wisconsin, and you can only put up 6 points. Tyler O'Connor is probably my biggest question mark of the week.
Certainly. He's definitely the elephant in the room. Griffin.
I completely agree. I think Tyler O'Connor is all over the place. I mean, let alone the stats. He sails balls. He throws like off his back foot. He doesn't look for his second and third options. He misses open receivers. You saw Donnie Corley wide open in the back of the end zone, and he throws into a crowd of three Wisconsin players for an interception. It's ridiculous. And then In order for the Spartans to win, I think Coach D has to give Gerald Holmes and Madre London some more carries. Yes, LJ Scott is an absolute workhorse. He's a beast, but you got to incorporate some other attacks. I mean, Madre London only has 6 carries through 3 games, and then you see Gerald Holmes break a 70-yard touchdown against Notre Dame, and then you don't see much of him at all.
And so, that's my big key, Griffin. When you evaluate this Michigan State offense last week against Wisconsin, and you got to give Wisconsin a lot of credit. They totally shut down that run game, and they forced Tyler O'Connor to throw the football. Tyler O'Connor, in order for him to be comfortable in that pocket, he has to have the comfort in knowing that he has a running back that's doing work and picking up some yardage on first or second down. He did not have that. And when you force Tyler O'Connor to have to sit back in the pocket and make accurate throws, that's not his DNA. I question, and you can't make him. I mean, we're talking about a senior here, Isaac. And I think maybe we're seeing a ceiling here for Tyler O'Connor. But what I did like, in his defense, he did own up and say, you know what? As a leader should, as a captain, as a quarterback should, you know what? I screwed up. I had a lot of bad throws. I take full responsibility. This is what comes with the gig of being a starting quarterback here at any Big Ten school, let alone for Michigan State University. You deflect all the credit when you win. You absorb all of that fault if you lose. And Tyler O'Connor is certainly doing that. Now, I like how he's manned up throughout this week.
That's
I will
the
say
thing.
That.
He was shaky during the game. He wasn't shaky during the press conference.
No, and
he said all
I really
the want right
to see
things.
That. Yeah, when you sit down at that table, hey, he walked in, sat down, and fielded every question with posture up, looking you right in your eyes, with not a lot of emotion. I think he was more so ticked at himself than how the game
yeah,
turned
and that's
out.
Absolutely fine. This is a guy who his teammates said would be a captain on the team no matter what position he played. He showed that all the leadership qualities are there, but like everybody said, I'm not saying anything new. It's the accuracy, it's the decision-making, and it's the matter of can those things be acquired over the course of a season.
Zach Barnes.
This is why I love going last. All my thoughts are coming in. You guys say something. I have like 90 different things to cover. First, Al, come on, as a journalist, absorb the criticism when you lose, push it away when you win. That is cliches ahoy. You should.
That's how it is, though. That is exactly – I understand how it sounds. But there are a lot of guys in that position that I've seen. I mean, heck, I can go back. Remember Ezekiel Elliott?
Always
Isaac.
Do, yep.
Remember, I always go back
the
to that
Urban
game.
The Urban Meyer beef, yep.
Exactly, the Urban Meyer beef, where, you know, Zeke comes in, and he immediately starts to blame the coaching staff. He immediately starts to blame it on. See, that's what you guys like. But you don't do that. You know, you don't do it. It's a part of, especially as a quarterback, you don't do that.
Losses less. What bugs me is you got... I'm a big baseball guy. You got the guy strikes out 15. Really good team effort, like what our offense is. It's like, dude.
Right.
You
it's
dominated.
Very right.
Recognize it. And so, like, if TOC goes out and throws for 400 and 5 touchdowns, I say recognize it. You earned it. That's
certainly. I hear what you're saying, Zach, because we're on the same plane with that, too. How many times have I come on and said, I appreciate honesty when it comes to press conferences, okay?
Should, yeah.
Like Izzo, that's why I love Izzo. Izzo is unfiltered, maybe unfiltered to a fault at times, but he is going to tell you and give you an honest answer. But at the same time, Tyler O'Connor in a new position, first year trying to replace the most decorated quarterback in Michigan State football history. You come in, you don't want to lash out that early in the year. You don't want to be that candid.
And that's
that
not
early.
How he is. And you know, you guys are giving a lot of heat, you know, Griffin especially, man, to TOC, and as he should, he doesn't look good. You got to remember, this Wisconsin game, that was a collapse on all aspects of the ball. Mm-hmm. Defense, offense, and special teams. You're not winning then. This was just a train wreck. There's so much to work on both sides of the ball where I don't want to single out TOC. We know there's things to improve on. I think Chris Solari of the Lansing State Journal had Free Press now, actually.
Yeah, he's with the Free Press
had
now.
Had a phenomenal piece on why they're sticking with him. It's the loyalty. Hey, he gave 5 years to us.
Right.
I'm never one to say you owe anything to anyone, but come on, you owe him at least a fourth game or fifth. And then you start talking benching. But we'll get to that when we get to that. I think we need to look out the other looming problem that we bring up, I feel like, every Friday, the secondary, against a high-powered Indiana offense that will love to throw the ball. And Mr. Hicks, Nicholson, Copeland, all those guys will be tested. And that's what I fear. Indiana is going to drop 35 points. But this is where defense helps offense. I think the secondary needs to get some stops because I'm not confident in TOC and the offense to get 35, 40 points where Indiana's going to want the game to be. They want this to be a shootout. They don't care if they let up, 30 points. Although the defense is improved for Indiana. They're trying to pride themselves on that. And you see the numbers, less yardage. They're doing a good job at stopping the run. Nonetheless, I just fear the secondary will not be able to stop this high-powered Hoosier offense.
And that's been a hole in the boat, Zach, since the very beginning of the year. We saw it against Furman. We saw it against Notre Dame when Deshaun Kizer was forced to just let it ride because they were down so much. That secondary, and you talk about third downs. Again, you're talking about a Wisconsin team that went 7 of 16 on third downs. How many times did we see Michigan State make good plays in the backfield on first and second and then give up a big play downfield to keep the chains moving for the Badgers?
But what are they doing in practice? This was the same issue last year.
This was
2015's problems. You think to erase those because you're exactly right. Up front, your front seven's going to get them on first and second. But it's like this is the exact same thing that was happening last year, and it hasn't been corrected. And that's unacceptable in my opinion.
Folks, call in. 517-355-9527. 517-355-WKAR. Really briefly, I want to go around. I know, Jody, stick around, my man. I know we got you on line one. I want to get to you in just a second. Call in, folks. I want to get your thoughts and predictions on this game. I want to get your final thoughts. Let's go around the room really briefly here. Give me who you got winning and why. Let's go with Swy first. That's how I'm going to differentiate the two Swy. Zachs here. ZB and Swy. What's up, Swy?
Cool with that.
I think Michigan State can come away with a win against Indiana. I think it's going to be very close. Zach said the secondary, I think it's going to be key. Defensive pass rush is going to be another thing with Bulla. When they blitzed, they didn't really have anyone to fill the holes when they blitzed. Mm-hmm. And if Indiana can have any type of run game, it's going to be another hole. Still, Tyler O'Connor, I know you can't put everything on him. They didn't have a balanced attack against Wisconsin. Partially it was because they fell behind early. But Tyler O'Connor, I know he's the quarterback, but he's got to play better.
Let's go, Griffin.
I think Michigan State gets the win, 42-35. And then
high scoring.
I do think it'll be high scoring. Going back to what Zach said, Barnes, of course, I completely agree. I think third down's huge. I think the secondary is going to get absolutely torn apart, so that's why I'm going with 35 points. But in terms of Tyler O'Connor, you've seen it against Furman, him just going one read, bad throw. You saw it a little bit against Notre Dame. Yes, he had some great stats that game, but he missed some very important throws. And I do not think that you bench Tyler O'Connor.
Not right now, at least.
Not right now.
If he mucks it up against Indiana, then we can have this conversation on Monday.
Next week, we'll be talking.
ZB, who do you got?
I fear for this offense to be able to put up high numbers, and I know they did against Notre Dame. So, yes, we've seen it. They can put up high numbers, but can they stay along with Indiana? That's just going to be shooting out. So I'm going to go really close. 31-30 MSU. Mm-hmm. I think they squeak by. Like, once again, this game might be getting overlooked again. It's like that's when they're going to get you. So 31-30, Michigan State squeaking it.
Isaac? I'm going close as well, 24-20 in favor of MSU. I have to say, though, I think MSU's secondary receives a disproportionate amount of hate. I think one of the problems is the fact that they're stranded out there for 5 to 10 seconds per pass attempt. The defensive line gets no push whatsoever.
That's a great point.
Malik McDowell is double teamed every single time. That's the problem, if you ask me, for this defense, not the secondary alone, although it could certainly use some revamping. With that being said, I think MSU controls the tone of this game, and I think they pull out the win, like I said, 24-20.
I'm going 27-21 Michigan State, and I agree with you, Isaac. There is no pass rush for Michigan State right now. There really is. And you look at the amount of true freshmen that are now – the red shirts are gone now. I just want to – just to dwindle this down. Jordy, I'm getting to you right after this. Receiver Tristan Jackson, defensive end Josh King, and Austin Robertson, offensive tackle Tayo Lacusa. He played as well, joining Donnie Corley and D-tackle Mike Panasiuk. Both played all played on Saturday. And you look at Michigan State now playing six true freshmen for this year. They played six last year, 3 in 2014, 4 in 2013, 3 in 2012. I think Mark D'Antonio is sending a message that, we need help and we need it now. Line one, Jody from Canada. Jody, thanks so much for being so patient. How you doing?
Hey, I'm doing good, Al. I wanted to go back to the Clemson to Louisville. Excuse me. Louisville plays Clemson tomorrow night at 8:00.
They do,
and that should be one of their first tests. You know, so you Florida State to me showed they may be a fraud, you know, but maybe it'll be a good game tomorrow night. I watched Wake Forest in Indiana, and Wake Forest never really was in dire straits, even when the game was fairly close on the board. You know, they just threw the ball and were able to just go down and score whenever it seemed like whenever they wanted to. Mm-hmm. I missed the state game, so I really didn't get a chance to see it. So I can't comment on, you know, Tyler O'Connor's performance or anything like that. But, you know, sometimes, and then you got a new quarterback in there, and he hasn't really, you know, gotten the experience. You know, he played in the rain and handed the ball off and didn't really have to, you know, put the game on his shoulders. You know, maybe he's growing up. You know, it might have taken him 5 years, but if you haven't been on the field a lot, that's just what it takes, you know. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of the young, you know, I'll see. I'll watch the game tomorrow. I'm watching Clemson and Louisville, but it'll be very interesting to see, you know, where we're going and, you know, if they can get the ball to Corley and if they can get, you know, if the defense can get a pass rush. But, you know, this may be part of a, I don't want to call it a rebuild, but, you know, it may just be part of a time when, you know, there's some new people in some positions and, you know, you have to deal with them growing up.
Yeah, we'll see, and I'm going to be glued to my TV watching that Louisville and Clemson game as well. Of course, I'll be flipping back and forth between the Michigan State and Indiana game and that game. But Deshaun Watson versus Lamar Jackson—that's going to be some fun primetime TV, isn't it?
Yes, it will. You know, it's another thing going, just switching back and forth. You talk about MSU. Hey, it's somebody else's time to step up. If Reske and Bullock aren't playing their linebackers, they're not Superman. So it's time for the next set of linebackers to step in.
Very true.
You know, that's why you have a scholarship. I mean, you know, I'll tell you a story and, you know, I'll be brief and I'm a brag on me, but, you know, I sat there, I was a backup for like 3 years, and my senior year a guy got hurt, second play at a Notre Dame game. So I went in and balled at Notre Dame against Notre Dame. The next week, you know, I'm starting at Michigan. We hadn't won in 9 years. We brought rain and won for the first time in 9 years. You know, you just have to believe in yourself.
That's right. It's about that next man up mentality. Yeah.
Yeah. Even if the coaches don't believe in you, you know, never stop believing in you.
Love it.
You know.
Right.
So I mean, you know. So hey, Young Bucks, if you're the backup guy, man, hey, it's your time to shine.
Well, we'll see. Dowell, Jones, and Fry will be those three at that linebacker core, trying to step up, of course, in lieu of the absence of Reske and Bulla. Jody, thanks so much.
All right, take care.
You got it. And I want to bring this up as well when it comes to Indiana. Indiana also had 9 penalties for 85 yards against Wake. They allowed 17 points on not one, not two, not three, not four, but 5 turnovers. And Lego, even I brought up his fantastic numbers on Saturday, he also threw 5 interceptions. So take that with a huge truck of salt. First break. When we come back, we will give you a preview of the Michigan and Wisconsin game. As well as you'll get to hear from Coach Tom Izzo, as today marks the very first day that the Michigan State men's basketball team can officially practice. Don't go anywhere. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, and we are continuing to take your calls. We have about 15 minutes left in the show today. What do you think of the Michigan State and Indiana matchup? And, hey, a pretty big game at the Big House out in Ann Arbor tomorrow afternoon as the Michigan Wolverines will take on the Wisconsin Badgers, the same Badgers to beat the Michigan State football team last weekend. What do you think? 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Before we give you a preview of that Badgers and Wolverines matchup, this morning, Tom Izzo, head coach of the Michigan State men's basketball team, held his very first media availability of the year. So Isaac Constance and myself, we took a trip out to the Breslin Center. We got a chance to actually see the new digs, the new wing of the Michigan State basketball building, right inside the Breslin Center, where all of the offices are. My, oh, my. Beautiful renovations. Actually, in the room that Tom Izzo held his presser, I've seen that room prior to, and it's like a totally like it's like a 180, okay, folks? I mean, you walk in, they have a big sign that says Spartans in the NBA with the big Jerry West NBA symbol, and you got pictures of all of the Michigan State men's basketball players who have made it and had success at that next level. You got like three beautiful LED screens that rotate with different images of players and personnel in the program. It's just beautiful. And Tom Izzo, man, can you believe it's been 195 days since that first round loss to Middle Tennessee State in the NCAA tourney? Feels like yesterday. That sting, many Spartan fans out there can still feel the sting of that loss. But nonetheless, a new year, new goals, new expectations. Michigan State basketball is back on the floor, folks. And this schedule is really, really tough. I'll get into the nuts and bolts of it in just a second. But here's what Izzo had to say concerning this season's schedule. And I tell you what, folks, this statement is pretty honest.
We are in for the most brutal 20 days in the history of Michigan State basketball, period. When you look at travel, teams played, and youth, those three things. The exciting part is, as those guys say to me every time I get a little bit paranoid about get your rest now because you're not going to get it later. Don't miss classes because you're not going to be, you know, going to be gone a lot later. You know, they keep reminding me that's why they came. We'll see if they feel that way seven games in. Because if the right teams fell, I guess the only other option teams are in that tournament in the Bahamas. But you could play against four top 10 teams and travel to, well, five top 11, maybe five top 15 teams, depending if you play Baylor or Louisville or teams like that. But that part concerns me. It concerns me that I think we're cramming so many things together here, and we're expected to play in things. And I think if we're looking at student welfare things, we got to really look at our scheduling and what we're doing and when Christmas and when breaks are, because that should be something you guys look at even more than I do.
Very honest, right? The most brutal 20 days in Michigan State men's basketball history. Wow. So the season unofficially begins on October 27th. First of two exhibition matchups. They will take on Northwood University on the 27th, and then on November 2nd, Saginaw Valley State in exhibition number two. Then the season will officially begin on November 11th versus Arizona out in Honolulu, Hawaii. Oh, that's going to be beautiful, right? In the Armed Forces Classic. Then get this. After that is said and done, on November 15th, they will participate in the Champions Classic against Kentucky. Arizona and Kentucky to start the year. My goodness. And then get this. You know, after they play Mississippi Valley State on November 18th in East Lansing, they will participate in the Battle for Atlantis. Yeah, they'll play one game on November 20th versus Florida Gulf Coast. And then they will head to Atlantis, Bahamas to take part in the Battle for Atlantis. So, what a start to the year. Izzo, he's known for starting off the year by throwing his team right in the fire because he likes to know where the holes in the boat are and how to plug them as the season moves on. He loves those early season tough tests to really see how good his team is and where the potential lies. We will really see how good this MSU basketball team is very early on and how they compete against some national powerhouses like Kentucky, like Arizona. I mean, it's going to be an interesting year to start. We'll play more coverage from the Izzo press conference on Monday. I do want to play one more bite, though. If we could cue up the Appling bite, Isaac, because I got a chance to ask Tom this morning what his thoughts were on former Michigan State guard Keith Appling, who has had just a really tough summer with two gun charges. He had a great NBA D-League outing. Looked as though he had a chance of making an NBA roster. And then he has the summer that he has, and now I don't think we'll see him in the NBA this upcoming year. His lawyer did say there's a chance that he may play overseas sometime, but we just don't know with Keith Appling. So Izzo, I asked Izzo whether or not he's had any contact with Keith when it comes to these whole with the incidences that have occurred this summer with the gun charges, and what have those conversations been like? This is what Tom Izzo had to say.
Yeah, I did early. I haven't recently. Just talked to his old high school coach 2 days ago, was up here, and you know, it's sad when you see things happen. What makes me sad for him is when you see the same thing happen over and over. But at the same time, sometimes, you know, you do become a product of either who you hang with or where you're at, and I think that's something Keith's got to learn. I hope he can get through this, and it's really sad because I think Keith was on the verge, that far from making it this year. He had a great year last year, and year before he played pretty good, and he was moving on up the ladder. I can only say that. So in saying that, I just hope things work out.
Really rooting for Keith. Just a bad summer, hanging out with the wrong crowd, as you heard Izzo said. I'm really hoping that he gets back on track. Also, Michigan State, well, I should say Tom Izzo, has his most heralded class, recruiting class, that he's ever had hitting the hardwood this upcoming year. We saw a few of them in the Moneyball Summer League Pro-Am over the summer. You know, Miles Bridges, we saw Nick Ward, we saw Josh Langford. Just a fantastic group of young men that really have a tremendous upside. Big recruiting news for Tom Izzo. Big day for Tom Izzo today as well. Xavier Tillman chose to stay close to home as Tom Izzo continues to assemble yet another high-profile recruiting class. Tillman, it's being stated that he is perhaps the best in-state senior in the class of 2017. He picked Michigan State this afternoon over Purdue and Marquette at a press conference at Grand Rapids Christian High. He's a four-star power forward slash center, 6'9", 250 pounds. He joins his AAU teammate, Jaren Jackson Jr., as we talked about here on the show not too long ago. Jaren Jackson Jr. committed to Michigan State as well. Izzo's second recruit for 2017. Isaac, that is huge. Huge. Still a line from Donald Trump.
Well, not sure how much of that you want to get started with, but at the same time, it's okay to throw in one once in a while. But yeah, it is a big deal, and anytime you sign two products of the 2016-2017 class this early on, it only makes way for more and more to come through. That's the thing. Sometimes with recruiting, when it rains and pours, so to have a five-star already committed, then a three-star, Tom Izzo's roping them in. And like I said, he doesn't think the Hall of Fame class helped. Maybe it did. Maybe it did.
We'll play that on Monday. And that was a funny response to a question on whether or not the Hall of Fame honor has lured more recruits to want to play for him. So you'll get to hear that on Monday, all right? Let's hit our second break. When we come back, we'll give you guys a preview on the Michigan and Wisconsin game. And we'll cap this show off with Reflection Friday. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. On Saturday afternoon at Michigan Stadium, the Michigan Wolverines at 4-0 will take on the 4-0 Wisconsin Badgers. Yeah, folks, it's going to be a big game. Pretty big game against two top 10 teams, number 8 Wisconsin, number 5 Michigan. You know, a few things to watch here. You know, first off, you know, Isaac, Michigan is finally going to play a legit defense. Okay, they're finally, we're really going to finally get to see where exactly, just how good this Michigan offense is. A lot of firepower on that Michigan offense, of course, led by Wilton Spade, who I believe has been getting better week after week after week. No surprise there, because we know that Jim Harbaugh is a quarterback guru. But Wilton Spade has faced few serious tests in his four games as a starter. All right? Wisconsin, we saw what Wisconsin was able to do against that Michigan State offense. Michigan State's offense could not get into a rhythm. They stymied Tyler O'Connor all game. They shut down the run game. That defense right now is allowing 80 yards per game. Pretty good. Pretty good stuff, right? Michigan's defense, on the contrary, though, I mean, Michigan's defense is one of the best in the nation as well. How will Alex Hornibrook, you know, who's stepping into this starting role, had a great outing in managing the game against Michigan State. Again, that Michigan State defense was beaten up. You heard as we dove into that secondary. That secondary is not great. The Michigan State defense is not good. Let's put it that way. Now they're going to get some Michigan team with a lot of athletic players. Heck, Jabril Peppers. I mean, that secondary is fantastic. They get a lot of push off that defensive line. We're going to get to see just how good Alex Hornibrook and that Wisconsin offense is. So for me, the big question marks for me are both offenses here. Can they operate and get into some kind of groove against national powerhouse defenses?
Well, and for me, the question is, what will Michigan's run game, which has been so balanced, so reliable throughout the course of this season?
Certainly.
You look at it, and their top three rushers all have at least two touchdowns and at least 145 yards.
Yep.
That's something really impressive. So you look at all of that, and then you look at the Wisconsin defensive front, who has been, you said, stifling, whatever you want to call it. They have been impenetrable. MSU couldn't get anything going on them. And I think that'll be the matchup to watch. Also, big name, Vince Beagle for Wisconsin.
Yep.
Ruled out of the game.
He's
going to have surgery for his foot. So can TJ Watt pick up all the slack? We'll see. My prediction, I say Michigan pulls this game out in very close fashion. I say 17-14.
I think Michigan wins as well. I'm going 21-17 Michigan in that game. And, you know, you look at Michigan dominating Penn State last week. Again, 326 rush yards for Michigan. They have scored at least 45 points in each of their wins. But, again, they haven't been tested against a team like Wisconsin. Davion Smith and Chris Evans have been fantastic on the ground. I look for those two to try and really make something happen against that Wisconsin defense. That includes J.J. Watt's little brother. T.J. Watt is really fantastic. And J.J. Watt, done for the year. That's a whole nother conversation. All right. Yeah. All right. Well, just 1 minute left in the show. Reflection Friday. All right, Isaac, I've got two quick reflections coming from the fight world. If you have not read, and we chatted about this earlier this morning, if you have not read the Sports Illustrated article centered on Mike Tyson and how he's really just made a 180, complete contrast to what he was like back in the 90s when his fight career was at its height. Definitely check it out. And also, world champ, heavyweight, Tyson Fury, test positive for cocaine. My goodness, not news I wanted to hear. And hey, Ryder Cup, the USA, pretty good start.
Yeah, not whatsoever. But my news for the week, I guess, is Les Miles. How are you going to fire a coach with the best winning percentage in school history who's tier 3? Tier 1 is Nick Saban. Tier 2 is Urban Meyer. Tier 3 is everyone else who has won a championship in the last 10 years. How are you going to fire that man?
That was really fast. We'll let you sound off on that next week, all right? Have a great weekend and be easy, people.